Hello, listeners, and welcome to the first episode of The Late Night Horrors with Nikki Lee. Tonight, I will be reading you some Reddit stories from ScoopWoop.com, where you can find many worldwide short stories. And trust me, when they say short, I mean they're pretty short. The first one I will be reading for you tonight, a little bit creepy, so get ready for this one. Not too bad, but still. It is called This New Old House by Bat Outta Hell 821. Quoting, "The best feeling is getting a long peel similar to your skin when you're peeling from a sunburn." We bought an old house, my boyfriend and I. He's in charge of the new construction, converting the kitchen into the master bedroom, for instance, while I'm on wallpaper duty. The previous owner papered every wall and ceiling. Removing it is brutal, but oddly satisfying. The best feeling is getting a long peel similar to your skin when you're peeling from a sunburn. I don't know about you, but I kind of make it a game of peeling on the hunt for the longest piece before it rips. Under a corner section of paper in every room is a person's name and date. Curiosity got the best of me one night when I googled one of the names and discovered the person was actually a missing person. The missing date matching the date under the wallpaper. The next day, I made a list of all the names and dates. Sure enough, each name was from a missing persons report with dates that match. We notified the police, who naturally sent out on the crime scene with a team. I overheard one text say, "Yep, it's a human." "Human? What's human, ma'am?" "Where is the material you removed from the walls already?" "This isn't wallpaper you were removing." Interesting. Very interesting. Very short story, but interesting. What do you guys think that she was really removing from the wall? The next story I have for you is called "I Hate It When My Brother Charlie Has to Go Away" by Horror in Pure Form. Quoting, "They say his disorder makes him charming, makes it easy for him to fake normatically." I hate it when my brother Charlie has to go away. My parents constantly try to explain to me how sick he is. That I am lucky for having a brain where all the chemicals flow properly to their destinations like undammed rivers. When I complain about how bored I am without my little brother to play with, they try to make me feel bad by pointing out that his boredom likely far surpasses mine. Considering his confined to a dark room in the situation of this institution, I always beg for them to give him one last chance. Of course, they did it first. Charlie has been back home several times, each shorter in duration than the last. Every time, without fail, it starts again. The neighborhood cats with gouged eyes showing up in his toy chest. My dad's razors found dropped on the baby's side in the crib and at the park across the street. Mom's vitamins replaced by bits of dishwasher tablets. My parents are hesitant now, using last chances sparingly. They say his disorder makes him charming, makes it easy for him to fake normatically, and to trick the doctors who care for him into thinking he's all ready for rehabilitation. That I will just have to put up with my boredom if it means staying safe from him. I hate it when Charlie goes away. It makes me have to pretend to be good until he's back. No, I do have to say that one is a little bit creepy. What would you do if you found your little sibling having a bunch of gouged eyes out of a cat in your toy chest? Oh, that is, that's a little bit gruesome. I don't know what I would do. Oh, that is definitely something else. The next story I have for you is called Guardians by Dark Alligator. Quoting, he knew they had just been protecting him. He awoke to this huge insect-like creature looming over his bed and screamed his lungs out. They hastily left the room and he stayed up all night shaking and wondering if it had been a dream. The next morning, where the tap was on the door, gathering his courage, he opened it to see one of them gently place a plate filled with fried breakfast on the floor, then retreat to a safe distance. Bewildered, he accepted the gift. The creatures chittered excitedly. This happened every day for weeks. At first, he was worried they were fattening him up, but after a particularly greasy breakfast, they left him. Clutching his chest from heartburn, they replaced with fresh fruit. As well as cooking, they poured hot steamy baths for him and tucked him in when he went to bed. It was bizarre. One night he woke up to gunshots and screaming. He raced downstairs to find a decapitated burglar being devoured by insects. He was sickened, but disposed of the remains as best as he could. He knew they had just been protecting him. One morning, the creatures wouldn't let him leave his room. He lay down, confused, but trusting as they assured him back to bed. Whatever their motives, they weren't going to hurt him. Hours later, a burning pain spread throughout his body. It felt like his stomach was filled with a razor wire. The insects chittered as he spasmed and moaned. It was only when he felt the terrible screaming feeling beneath his skin that he realized insects hadn't been protecting him. They had been protecting their young. Ooh, now that was definitely creepy. What would you do if you found an insect crawling under your skin? And you thought a bunch of insects were protecting you, but they really weren't. They may be a bug, but be careful who or what you trust. Because sometimes, even if it isn't human, not the best thing to trust. My last story for you guys tonight is called Seeing Red, the First Day of School, by Zen Riero. Quoting, it's such a rush to see them and know their time is numbered. Everyone loves the first day of school, right? New year, new classes, new friends. It's a day full of potential and hope before all the dreary depressions of reality show up to ruin all the fun. I like the first day of school for a different reason, though. You see, I have a sort of power. When I look at people, I can sense sort of aurora around them. A colored outline based on how long a person has to live. Most everyone I meet around my age is surrounded by a huge solid green hue, which means they have plenty of time left. A fair amount of them have a yellow, orangish tinge to their auroras. which tends to mean a car crash or some other tragedy. Anything that takes people before their time, as they say, the real fun is when auroras venture into the red end of the spectrum. Though, every now and then, I'll see someone who's basically a walking stoplight. Those are the ones who get murdered or kill themselves. It's such a rush to see them and know their time is numbered. With that in mind, I always get to class very early so I can scout my classmates' fates. The first kid who walked in was basically radiating red. I chuckled to myself. Too damn bad, bro. But as people kept walking in, they all had the same intense glow. I finally caught a glimpse of a rose-tinted reflection in the window. I was too stunned to move. Our professor stepped in, locked the door, his aurora a sickening shade of green. Ooh, that is pretty scary. Man, I wish I could meet somebody like that. I wonder what my aurora is. Hopefully it's green in a long time. But, yeah, that is all I have for tonight. But, stay tuned for our next episode. Thank you to all the new listeners who have came to listen to this podcast episode. And have a very spooky, wonderful night.